Salvation is of the Lord. Who said that? Besides me, just now. Who said that? Jonah, a prophet of God, said that. And you know what this prophet of God, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Do you know, there's something unique about this prophet. He was a prophet that was told to do something, to go somewhere, to preach the gospel, to tell the city of Nineveh to repent, and Jonah refused. And Jonah ran from God. And there are some tonight, right in this room, and you may be a Christian, you may have made a profession at one point in your life, and yet you know you're not where you ought to be in your relationship with the Lord. And perhaps you've been running from the Lord. Tonight, we want to speak with you. Perhaps you've been sitting here this whole week, and you've heard the gospel on Monday and Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and now you're hearing the gospel again. And each night that you've been hearing the gospel, you've closed your ears, you say, this isn't for me. And you've been running from God, in essence. And so tonight, we have a message for you. That God desires all men to be saved. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we think of Jonah and how he ran from God, it's not my intent to look at Jonah tonight, but it is my intent to share with you that you cannot run from God. And you cannot hide from God. And we're going to look at three individuals this evening, one of them being Jonah. But two other individuals who tried to run or hide from God. And you cannot run from God. Jonah probably needed the verse out of Psalm 139 that would remind us, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The thing is we cannot run from God. We cannot outrun God, and we can't hide from God. Not too long ago, a few years ago, I was in California, and I was at the Advance, and I was preaching, sharing with the young people there, and I was busy preaching in the different assemblies, and coming home on the airplane, I was exhausted, kind of like I was at the first part of this week after junior camp. 8 to 10-year-olds wear you out. And so I was getting on the plane, and I sat down, and I was one of the first people to get on. No, I wasn't in first class. It just happened that way. And I was getting on the plane, and I sat down in my seat, and I had an aisle seat. And here came a lady, and I had prayed, and I said, Lord, just let me have nobody here. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm weary. And I just want to sleep. I don't want to talk. I'm peopled out. And you know what the Lord did? I looked up. I had my eyes closed, and I looked up, and here came this lady. And she was a big lady, and she had, sorry about that, but she had long dress on, and she had a bun in her hair. Her hair up in a bun, and she had a big smile from ear to ear. And I knew two things. I knew, number one, this lady was going to sit right next to me. And the second thing I knew, by looking at her, I knew she was a Christian. I could tell she was a Christian. So she sat down, and she sat down by the window, and I'm by the aisle, and then there was an empty seat. And I said, well, that's not so bad, Lord. The seat's empty. And then came another person, a young lady, probably in her 20s somewhere. I didn't ask. And she came and she sat down in between us. And so I said, well, there's one way to make sure you don't get conversation. You pull out your Bible. Right away, that shut some people down. So I pulled out my Bible and I started reading. And the lady over by the window, she turns out to be a Mennonite. And she loved the Lord. And she says to me, where are you reading, brother? And right away, I knew she was a Christian. And she said, where are you reading, brother? And I said, well, I'm reading in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Oh, about the bread that came down from heaven. I said, that's right. The bread of God, she goes on. I said, yes. And the bread of heaven, yes. The true bread. I said, yes. And then the lady sitting between us, the young lady, she says to me, I can't believe this. And I said, what? She said, I cannot believe that I'm stuck here between two religious people. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? And she said, I have had this stuff crammed down my throat. She said, I am so sick of religion. And I said, praise God. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not about religion. And I'm pretty sure this lady isn't either. I said, I'm about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm about a relationship, having a relationship with God. We were talking back and forth. And we were talking, and we were the lady next to the window and me. And this lady in the middle, this young girl in the middle, she says, listen, I don't want you two to talk to me about this stuff. Okay. So, brother, what do you think? It means that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And so we talked the gospel back and forth, me and this Mennonite woman. And then all of a sudden, the guy in front of us turns around and he says, praise the Lord. And so there's three Christians. And this gal in the middle. And I'll make a long story short. By the time we landed in Minneapolis, Chicago. By the time we landed in Chicago, this lady that had been running from God, she told us her life story. She told us how she's running, how she rejected her parents and left them and dabbled in the world. By the time we landed in Chicago, she had accepted Christ as her Savior. What I want to share with you tonight is that you cannot outrun God. You cannot hide from God. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. The book of Genesis in chapter 3. The Bible says that God is the great seeker. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says that every one of us are lost, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That what that means is that means that God has his perfect standard. And the Bible says that every one of us have fallen short of that perfect standard. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You need to know you're lost. And tonight, if you're here and you've heard this time and time again, maybe you've grown up in a Christian home, maybe you made a profession when you were younger, but your heart has been hardened and you're out where you're not supposed to be. We want to tell you that the Lord Jesus loves you, that God loves you, and that the Lord Jesus is willing to receive you back to himself. But you need to know your lost condition. And in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, it reminds us that because of the disobedience of one man, as we read in Romans chapter 5, the disobedience of the one man, sin has spread to all men. that death is spread because of sin, because all of sin. The Bible says that all of sin, and that because of the disobedience of Adam, that death is spread to every one of us. And when we look in Genesis chapter 3, we see the incident where this takes place. And what's interesting is that in chapter 3 of Genesis, what we find is we find seven words connected to the curse. Seven words, and I'm just going to go through them very quickly tonight. But seven, sometimes I call them seven curse words. I'm not going to curse at anybody. But there are seven words that are connected to the curse that Adam didn't know before, but because of Adam's disobedience, he brought that into the world. And because of Adam's disobedience to God, that is in every one of our lives now, those seven things. But because of Adam's disobedience, that passage in Romans chapter 5 says, because of one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Many are declared by God because the Lord Jesus went into death, because the Lord Jesus died upon a cross, because the Lord Jesus was buried, because the Lord Jesus on the third day was raised from the dead, because the Lord Jesus appeared to his own, because the Lord Jesus ascended up on high. And because of that finished work on Calvary's cross, God can declare a sinner righteous tonight. What a wonderful thing. So where are you in your relationship with God tonight? Here in Genesis chapter 3, most of us know this story, that Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. And they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God said, on the day that you shall eat it, you will surely die. And this is where we want to pick up the story in verse 7. It says, in verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So also gave to her husband. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. The Lord, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And then the man said, the woman, typical man, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate it. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And then we see the curse that was upon woman. And then we see the curse that was upon the serpent. Then we see what God said to the woman. And if you would drop down with me to verse 17. And then Adam said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the fields. And in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Just that far. And so we see in this passage of Scripture, there are seven little things that Adam knew that he didn't know before, but because of his disobedience, he brought these things in. And the very first one is what we said already, death. You see, up to this time, there was no such thing as death. And God says the soul that sinneth must surely die. Because the wages of sin is death. And when Adam disobeyed, death came. And the scripture says that it is spread to all men because all have sinned. Now you think of this. And when we think of the magnitude of this. But then the Bible says in the Gospel of John, and this is the wonderful good news. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is like that grain of wheat that falls into the ground. And when that grain of wheat falls into the ground, the Bible says that it will die. And when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Say, why did the Lord Jesus have to die? Because he was the Lamb of God. Because he was that very one. He was God's way of salvation. Because salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus was God's way of salvation. The Lord Jesus stepped out of glory. You see, the Bible says that none of us seek after God. So God was the seeker. And God came. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in flesh. That God stepped out of glory in the person of his Son. That the Son of God, who loved me, came into this scene so that he might give his life for me. Amazing story of God's love. And I tell you tonight, yes, death is spread to all men. But when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, the Bible also says, most assuredly I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him who has sent me has passed from death to life, from condemnation to no condemnation. That's the glorious gospel that we have for you tonight. You do not have to see the judgment of God. Yes, the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You can pass tonight. You can pass right this moment from an eternity that's going to be filled with death, means separation from God in a crisis eternity, or you can pass from judgment to no condemnation. Tonight, this is what is offered to you. But you have to decide. You see, death. Are you afraid of death? I told somebody just recently, I'm not afraid of death. Because I know where I'm going. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. I know exactly where I'm going. Not because of anything I've done, but based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know where I'm headed. How about you? If you were in that accident tonight, the brother Chuck mentioned up in Toronto. If you were in that accident, where would you be? We had a funeral not too long ago in Corona. Brother Kevin Cortell and I shared the funeral. Kevin gave the message. And as we were at the funeral, there was a young sister. This young sister in the Lord, she made a profession when she was little. But let me tell you, what happened in her life was she got sidetracked. And young people, listen, she got sidetracked and she decided to dabble in sin and she fell into sin. She was saved when she was young. She made the profession of salvation when she was younger. I baptized her. And then as she grew up in the assembly, she started breaking bread. A lot of promise in this young sister. And then she fell into sin. And she wouldn't repent of it. Sin is a serious thing. God takes sin very serious. And this sister was put under discipline because of the sin in her life. And that was over 2 years ago. And she was at this funeral. And I said to her, I called her by name, and I said, dear, don't you think it's about time that you come back to the Lord. He's waiting. You can't just keep turning your back on him. He's waiting for you to come back. Don't you think it's about time? You've been away way too long. She said, yeah, I think you're right. But still have my boyfriend and still have stuff going on. And I said, but listen, the Lord is calling you right now. The Lord wants you to come back right now. She says, you're right, Tim. Maybe soon. 2 days later, she was riding her moped. 2 days later, she was in a terrible accident where they thought she was going to die. They had to do emergency surgery on her brain to relieve the pressure, or she surely would have died. She broke almost every bone in her body in that moped accident. Went in to see her in the hospital. And as I went in to see her and talk with her, I said, don't you think it's about time you come back to the Lord? What about you tonight? What's it going to take for you to get serious tonight? What's it going to take for you to get serious in your life and say, you know what? I don't want, because whom the Father loves, he chastens, he disciplines. And if you name the name of the Lord and you're playing around with sin, listen, it's a very serious thing. And dear friend, tonight, we want to encourage you. What's it going to take in your life for you to make a decision for Jesus Christ? Next thing that we see is that Adam realized he was naked. That's the second word. He realized he was naked before God. Up to this point, it was not a problem. But now, all of a sudden, the shame of sin set in. And he ran and he hid. Not only was there shame, but there was guilt. Because he knew he disobeyed God. And dear friend, that is exactly what sin does. Sin exposes our shame and our guilt before a holy and righteous God. And so what happens? They tried to sow fig leaves. Now, this is something I've never done. I've never tried to sow fig leaves, have you? I don't think it would work very well. And neither does it work very well for you to try to please God in your own righteousness. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says all the good works that we do cannot satisfy God, because it's not by works that we are saved, but it's according to his mercy. See, dear friend, tonight, you have an opportunity, and you can't save yourself. But the Lord Jesus has done the work, and you can accept that work. And you can say, Lord Jesus, I come just as I am, I come. I realize that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And it doesn't matter what you've done. But listen, the Bible says this. The Bible says that God desires to clothe you. He desires to clothe you and declare you righteous before God. Because the Lord Jesus is righteous. Perfect, without sin. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And tonight, the Lord Jesus wants to clothe you. He wants to clothe you in the garments of salvation tonight. He wants you to know what it is to have eternal life, to know without a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. You see, the next thing that resulted in this is that there was a curse. There was a curse. And the curse was, for the serpent, there was a curse. There was a consequence for sin for the woman, for Eve. There was a consequence of sin for Adam. And there's a consequence that sin has entered the world. Sin has consequences. This is something we all have to realize. Sin has consequences to it. And you cannot keep turning your back from God. You cannot keep running from God. Because sin has consequences. The next thing we learn in this passage is that sin brought sorrow into the world. And if you continue down a path of sin, if you continue down turning your back against God, there's nothing but sorrow there for you. But here, listen to this. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to go into the depths of sorrow. Oh, dear friend, tonight, when we think about what the Lord Jesus endured on Calvary's cross, not just simply at the hands of men, but think what the Lord Jesus endured upon the cross at the hands of a holy and a righteous God. For you. And for me, so that you might not know the judgment of God. Think about the next word in this passage is thorns. Was a result of the curse that came, the result of disobedience, thorns. And you know, when we think of those thorns and thistles that it says, we're reminded, aren't we? That when the Lord Jesus was upon the cross, that they made him a crown of thorns just before the cross. And they took that crown of thorns and placed it upon his brow. And then it says that they took that reed and they beat those thorns into his brow. And they did all sorts of other things to my blessed Savior. This was only the physical suffering. This is what man did to him. Because man turned their back on him. But listen. There's coming a day. A glorious day. There's coming a day. We've heard it every single night in the gospel meeting. That every knee is going to bow. And he is going to be crowned with many crowns. The Bible calls it diadems. Think of it. I remember years ago in St. Kitts. When I lived in St. Kitts, I used to go out into the village and pass out tracts. And there was a man in the village. And he was, I can't even reach how tall he was. And he was like this. His name, because in the islands they give you nicknames, and his name was Barrel. He looked like a big, huge barrel. And one day I saw him coming, and I knew Barrel did not want to hear anything about the gospel. And I swallowed, and I got my tract. I said, "Hi, Barrel. Jesus loves you." He said, "Man, you get that religion out of my face. Me don't want none of that." And he grabbed the track out of my hand. And he wadded it up. He threw it in my face. Bounced off my nose. And he said, "Man, the next time I see you, I'm going to mash you up." I saw Barrel the next day. I went to him. I swallowed again. My knees were shaking. I said, "Lord, help me." Sometimes I go places where angels would fear to go, maybe. And I went up to Barrel, gave him the tract, and said, "Barrel, Jesus loves you." And he says, "Let me tell you something. I will never bow the knee to Jesus Christ." Okay. When he left, I was just thankful he didn't mash me up. But you know what? 2 weeks later, Beryl, there was a man preaching from another group of Christians. And Beryl, I walked by the church where the preaching was taking place because it was in my village. I was checking to see what was going on. And I walked by, and who do I see up front but Beryl bending his knee, weeping like a little baby. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. What about you tonight? Would you be willing tonight to bow the knee to Jesus Christ? Would you be willing tonight to tell him that you desire him to be your Lord and Savior? Would you be willing to tell him tonight that you know without a doubt that you are a sinner? And maybe you've been running from him. Maybe you've been trying to hide from him. But Jonah could not outrun God. And tonight, Adam could not outrun God. And tonight, you cannot run, nor can you hide from God. He knows exactly where you are in your relationship to him. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart right now. He knows every hair that's upon your head. He knows everything about you. He knows if you've just been playing a game of religion or if you're serious tonight. He knows if you've been putting on a facade, and it's so easy to do that here at Grove City Bible Conference. It's so easy for us to put on a facade and sing the songs and pretend to be what we're not. It's so easy because you're surrounded by everybody and you could just go with the flow and it's so easy. But I want to tell you something. God knows exactly where you're at, young person. How long are you going to stay in your sins? How long will you continue to play this facade? God will not be mocked. You cannot run, cannot hide. Another word that's used here is sweat. Did you notice that? He speaks about sweat. And he says that from now on, Adam, when you work and you toil, you are going to sweat. This reminds me of something else. This reminds me of the time when my Savior, before the cross, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that he went into the presence of his Father and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the Bible says that as he did that, the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The very contemplation of he who knew no sin going to Calvary's cross, where all God's waves and all God's billows would fall upon him. The very contemplation of his holy person being made sin for you and me. He shrunk back because of his holiness. And yet, he would say these words, not my will, but thy will be done. And he would go all the way to the cross. The last word in this section that I see as a result of the cross, or the result of the curse, is the sword. You know, when God had to put Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put cherubim there with the flaming sword. And that was to keep them out of the garden so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Had they ate of that tree, they would have been lost for eternity. And so would have we. And God says, no. I don't want them to eat of that tree. Because there was another tree in that garden. called the tree of life. You know, when we think about the tree of life, we think about what that means. It reminds us of the cross. It reminds us of the Lord Jesus. And how the Lord Jesus, there's life in the look at the crucified one. And tonight, if you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you could have that life that we're speaking about. So tonight, when we think about the fact that you cannot run God, I want to close by looking at one other portion, a well-known portion that all of us know. And that is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, about a young man who told his father, I want to take everything that's coming to me. And he left and he went to a far country. And he left the blessings of being in his father's home. And he went out into that far country. And the Bible says that he spent everything he had. And the Bible says that the man, while he had everything, now isn't this the way it goes? When you have money, you have friends. When you have no money, you have no friends. And that's exactly what happened. When his money ran out, his friends ran out. But this man ran from his father and all that his father had. There in Luke chapter 15, the end of the chapter, we see that the prodigal came to himself. And he says, you know, even the serpents, this man got so bad that he was willing to eat the stalks that the pigs would eat. He was willing to eat pig food. Now, I was at a pig farm. I don't know if you've ever been to a pig farm. I looked at the pig food. And all I got to say is that man must have been very hungry. Because that stuff isn't really fit. But you know what? He said, I'm willing to eat this. He was so hungry. And you know what? Young people, we search and we desire stuff in our lives and we just get empty and we keep searching and we keep trying different things and the void is there and there's a God-shaped void in every one of our hearts and we try to fill that void with other things and that void just keeps, we put it in, but it never gets full. And no matter what we try, we come up empty and there's still a hunger there. There's still we're never satisfied, and there's still emptiness. And we try to put other things. And maybe tonight, maybe as a young person who grew up in the Father's house, maybe someone who grew up in a Christian home, and maybe you're straying away a little bit. Maybe you've been right in the home, and you're going places you shouldn't. Maybe as a young person tonight, maybe you've been on the internet and you've gone places and you know you shouldn't. I'm going to talk very plain. Maybe as a young person, you went with a crowd that's leading you down the wrong path. And yet, there's a void. There's something missing in you. Here's the other side of the story. While this boy was away from his home, I get the picture, and if you give me a little bit of liberty here, I get the picture that the father loved the son. And I get the picture when I read it, the portion, I get the picture that the father would look out the window, and I'd like to think that there he is, looking out the window, because the Bible says when the man came to the end of himself, that he came home, and he had this speech all ready and prepared, and he was going to say, Father, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. And he had this speech all figured out. And the Bible says that when his father saw him from afar, when his father saw him from a distance, you know what his father did? It says that the father, he had run from the father. Jonah had run from God. Adam had ran and hid from God. But it says that the father ran to him. And it says the father grabbed him around the neck. And it says that the father kissed him. And it says that the father, and in the text it means that he kept on kissing him. That young man never stopped experiencing the love of the father, because the love of the father kept showering him with his heart. I want to tell you something. Wherever you are in your relationship with God tonight, you need to know that God is waiting. He's waiting for you to come home. He's waiting, if you're a lost sinner tonight, he's waiting for you to recognize the fact, I have sinned, and I have sinned against the holy and righteous God. He's waiting for you tonight to say, I know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died upon the cross to bear my punishment for my sin, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, that he's in heaven, and that he's coming back for his own. And I believe this. And Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Thing is, there was a decision. That young man had to make a decision. There are those of you in this room right now, you have to make a decision. Like the gospel preachers before me each night, I cannot make that decision for you. Oh, I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could have made that decision for each one of my children, but I can't. And we've seen children tonight, this week, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yet, I believe in the depth of my heart that there are others, maybe other children. But I believe tonight in this very room that we are sitting in, that there are those whose relationship with the Lord is not right. And you know who you are. I don't know. And I don't have anybody in mind. But you know if your relationship isn't right with God. You know. My question for you tonight, will you come? Will you come? Stop fighting. Stop running. Stop trying to hide. Just come. When I was a young boy, I used to go to my grandmother's house. And in the summer, particularly in the summer, I used to like to go there because all the neighborhood, they played this game called Kick the Can. You ever played it? You ever played hide and seek? It was like hide and seek, except you hid. And you hid for a long time. But then there was a can in the middle of the street. And you would have to come and you would have to kick that can. And once you kicked the can, you were safe. But you had to get there. And they chased you. And you had to get to that can because that can was base. And once you got there, you were safe. Listen, we played that all the time as children. As young people, teenagers, we played it. It got even to be more fun when we got older. But you know what? You can't hide forever. There's a point where you have to come out of hiding and you have to get to that base. I want to tell you something. You can't hide forever. You cannot keep running from God. be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot hide from God. There is coming a day, and I believe with all my heart, it is very soon. There is coming a day when each of us will give an account. Some of us will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, which is only for believers. And we're not going to give an account for our salvation because that was taken care of on the cross. But we'll give an account for the things we've done in this life. But there are those of you possibly in this room who are not saved. And we've already heard about the great white throne this week, judgment of God. Listen, dear friend, for you tonight, the cross is the place of safety. Will you come? We're going to sing a last hymn. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and watching for me. Come home. Come home. All ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Sing this with me. What about you tonight? Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Tonight, if you know you're not right with the Lord, whether you're a young boy or young girl, or whether you're an older young person and you know your relationship with the Lord is not what it ought to be, the Lord is willing and waiting to forgive you of your sin. But you need to come. Confess that sin to him. You can come to him sitting right in your seat. And if perhaps you don't know what to pray, you can say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I love you. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, please. I want to go to heaven. You put it in your words. You said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me when you paid the price for my sin. Or you said, Lord Jesus, I know I've been away from you, but it's time I come home. Dear friend, wherever you are, I encourage you tonight. I encourage you tonight that you come home. Let's sing the third verse. We'll all arise on the chorus. I'll let you sit a little bit longer. We'll rise in the chorus. Then I'm going to close in prayer. And then after I close in prayer, I'm going to ask you just to file out quietly. And for those of you whom the Spirit of God has spoken to, and you know without a shadow of doubt that you need to come to the Lord Jesus, if you would like to just come down, we'll be down here waiting. So on the chorus, you'll stand, we'll pray, and then we'll file out quietly. Thank you that even though we have sinned against the holy and the righteous God, that he so loved the world that he gave you, blessed Savior, as his only begotten Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you would come into this world, not to condemn this world, but that through you we might be saved. And blessed Savior, we pray tonight that if there's any in this room who have never put their faith and trust in you, that tonight they would know what it is to have a heart that is clean. That they would know what it is to be forgiven of their sin. That they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised you from the dead. And blessed Savior, that they would be saved tonight. Oh, we ask this and we pray for any in this room whose relationship with you, blessed Savior, is not what it should have been. And perhaps they've strayed away. Perhaps things have come in their life that have taken their affection away. But, oh Lord, tonight we pray that they would mean business with you and that they would come. And that they would come home to you. Oh Lord Jesus, we've heard tonight that we cannot run. That we cannot hide from a holy and a righteous God who sees all. And we give you thanks that tonight, blessed Savior, that you endured the price for our sin, that you went into death, that you paid the price. And oh, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you thanks tonight. And we just pray that the Spirit of God would work in each and every heart, young and old, saved and unsaved, and we ask it for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. you may quietly leave, prayerfully leave. As you leave, pray for those that the Lord has spoken to.